The word today is tree. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. There is a big difference between knowing and trusting. God not only wants us to learn about Him, but also to put our faith in Him. This is a challenge because we are tainted by the knowledge of good and evil. Here with an answer to this problem is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Tree.
Today we will take a look at one of the most mysterious things in the Bible, something that no one really has deep knowledge of, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It seems really strange to our minds to think of a plant that would have the capability to alter human thinking. And yet that seems to be exactly what was the case in the book of Genesis in chapter 2, where it says the following: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Now, God had made humans. He wanted to spend indefinite time with them. This is why He provided the tree of life, so that He and humanity could be together forever in a blissful paradise. And He also provided this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what is this? Why would God even put a tree there and then tell the humans not to touch the tree, or more correctly, not to eat of the tree? Why did He do this? And was this a bad thing? You know, why would God put something there that humans potentially can have disastrous results with? Well, the reason that God had put the tree of knowledge of good and evil there, it seems, was that it was a test. It was a test of obedience. It was a place where God said, "This is mine, you cannot have it," and it was a way of demonstrating His difference from humans, and that Adam and Eve would have to trust and obey what He had said. This is not a wrong thing of God to do. For instance, if you want to think of a similar example, there are things in an adult's home, in your home possibly, that could be bad for children if it's mishandled, but they are expected not to touch or not to use it. For instance, you may have alcohol in your home that you consume as an adult and drink it appropriately. Obviously, it can be misused, but a Christian will work not to ingest too much alcohol and not to get drunk. But if it's used properly, it is a good gift from God. Matches may be found in the home. They also are used for good purpose, starting fires. But obviously, your children are not to be playing with these things. If they'd get their hands on them, they would be destructive and potentially dangerous, possibly even lethal. And that's why they're told hands off. Well, in the same way, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was hands off. They weren't supposed to touch it. Obviously, they disobeyed. And the end result was a shift in perspective. What happened with this tree of knowledge of good and evil? What happened to humanity? Basically, it changed our perspective. Instead of trusting and believing and relying on God the way a small child has to trust the parent, now all of a sudden we were duped by Satan into looking at the situation from our perspective, into thinking not what God says is good, but what I think is good. And so now all of humanity operates from this perspective of, well, I will decide what is good for me, or I'm going to determine what is bad for me. And so humanity graduated, shall we say, to the realm of the skeptical or the doubting because of our sin and our disobedience. And that self-interest, that selfishness that resides in all of us, tends to separate us from God, and it makes us enemies of God. It makes us neglect Him. It makes us think our needs are more important than other people's, and we don't have time for God in our lives. And that's why there is a world full of people now that are self-absorbed and all concerned about living their lives and forgetting about God's will and not following it. And that's why this program actually is coming to you, is because it's a reminder. It's trying to touch base once again with you to show you the priority is to get back to living according to God's will, not our own sinful, selfish interests. And every generation has this problem. Everyone has this disease of selfishness and arrogance that's caused because we sinned against God. And that's why, in certain cases, you can see in the Bible that generations of people turned from the Lord. Like, for instance, the Israelites. So many times, people that read the Bible think, well, when would they finally get the picture? When would they finally decide to obey God? After all, God had revealed Himself to them, and they kept turning away again and again. Weren't they stupid? Why would they do that? Well, the answer is because every new generation that came had to discover for themselves that they would have this sinful tendency to turn from God, and they had to be called back to Him. And then their children would arrive, and they would do the same thing all over again. So here you are, and you're listening to this program. Maybe it's never been explained to you. Maybe you were living in ignorance of God. That's why God wants you to have the knowledge of salvation. We all experience this knowledge of good and evil. We all have that sinful perspective. But the knowledge of salvation is God's special news that tells you of His love for you and that through Jesus Christ you can be saved. Have you ever heard of that phrase, ignorance is bliss, where somehow not knowing is better off for you? Well, I have a saying, ignorance is hell. When you don't know the facts, when you don't know the truth, it can have very, very serious, dire consequences. For instance, if you had cancer cells in your body, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is hell. You would end up getting more and more sick, and the cancer would ravage your body, and you would end up dying from it without even being able to put up a fight. What about if someone was stealing from you at work? Would ignorance be bliss? No, they would just make you more and more poor without your knowledge. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance has devastating consequences. And that's why God wants you to have the knowledge of salvation. That's why He wants you to know about God. And speaking about knowing about God, there is a huge difference between having information and intellect and having love for God. You can know about God in your head. You can have the intellectual information, and you can give assent to that and say, oh, yes, there was a man named Jesus. He lived a couple thousand years ago, and he was killed on a cross. But that doesn't save you. The difference is that you need to put your trust in God. God is calling you to hand over your belief and to put your confidence in Him. That's the kind of knowledge that God is seeking. It's like what John says in his gospel. Toward the end of his gospel, the story of Jesus, John says that these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in His name. God doesn't just want you to have a relationship with Him where He created you and you're a creature of His, but you're not going to acknowledge Him, where you're not going to say, yes, I know Him, I love Him. It reminds me of the story in the Bible of the prodigal son who said, give me my inheritance, I'm leaving, and he really did not show love toward his father. And he takes off and he lives a sinful, wild life. And then finally, He comes to his senses when he is in the pits, literally, with the pigs in the mud and eating the leftover food. And then he realizes what love his father had and how wise his father was. And so in humility, he goes crawling back to his father, and his father welcomes him, receives him, restores him. His father fully forgives him and even celebrates his return. Well, that is knowing God in a new way. That's realization in the son's mind of how much his father truly did love him. He thought he knew the father before. And in fact, the son was consumed with his own self-interest. He was running off of that very same thing we've been talking about, that knowledge of what's good for me. I'll determine what's best for me. He wouldn't listen to the father, and instead he went off and sinned and did his own thing. Only with time, when the consequences of sin came down upon him and made his life miserable, then he had the realization, wait a minute, there's a father who loves me. I need to return to him. And that was the beauty of the story of the loving father, is that God is exactly the same. You may have been living your life trying to determine what's best for you. You may have thought that in your sin you're having a great time, and then all of a sudden it all turns sour. Then it starts getting bad, and you find yourself in a real hellish existence, and you're not enjoying life, and it isn't all fun and games, and you're thinking, who's going to get me out of this? Well, the answer is there's a loving father, just like in the story of the prodigal son. You don't have to lean unto your own understanding. You don't have to try to dictate what's best for your life. Turn to the Lord. Listen to him. Pick up the Bible. Read the scriptures. Let him share his love letter toward you. Let him show you that he cares about you. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, is to learn about God and about his love for you, so that you won't, in a futile effort, try to run your own life, but you'll trust in God and his directives for you, and find out that he wants for you to have life, as the scripture says, and have it abundantly.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.